This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
On the morning of Memorial Day, May 27, 1968, dozens of family members of the crew of the USS Scorpion gathered at Pier 22 at the Norfolk Naval Station awaiting the 1 p.m. arrival of the submarine returning from a routine three-month deployment to the Mediterranean. The families waited for hours in the wind and the rain, clutching umbrellas and comforting shivering children. But unbeknownst to them, the Scorpion had sunk 5 days earlier, killing all 99 men on board. Veteran military reporter Ed Offley has found out decades later that the Navy already knew that the Scorpion's fate on that morning, but hid the facts from the family members, the press, and the public. To this day, family members and the public remain in the dark about what one American admiral called one of the greatest unsolved sea mysteries of our era. The new book is Scorpion Down, Sunk by the Soviets, Buried by the Pentagon, The Untold Story of the USS Scorpion. I am honored to welcome to the program author and investigative journalist Ed Offley. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Coy.
Ed, we should tell folks, first off, that you have a Charlottesville connection. You are a graduate of the University of Virginia.
I went to the University of Virginia. I was in the class of 1969. I was very, very surprised in my own career to find myself back in Charlottesville 10 years later as editorial page editor of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. So I claim two battles for Charlottesville.
There you go. And you graduated, again, UVA in 1969.
1969.
Right. And now you are, let's just tell folks, now you're the military reporter for the News Herald in Panama City, Florida.
Yes, that's correct.
Terrific. Ed, an amazing story, Scorpion Down, an incredible, I was just telling folks earlier, if there ever was to be a movie made about military history, this should be it. An incredible story. First off, give us, in broad strokes, tell us what happened and this true story that you have uncovered here of what really happened to these 99 soldiers.
Sailors.
Sailors, I'm sorry.
What happened was the Navy has called this a mystery for nearly 40 years, but it's not a mystery at all. It's a secret. It's one of the darkest and deepest secrets of the entire Cold War. I don't want to cut myself too much to the chase, but to make it brief, I found out during my research into the incident over a 24-year period, not for the entire 24 years, but steadily throughout it, that what really happened was the U.S. and Soviet submarine forces were involved in a very potentially dangerous prolonged encounter under the ocean, whether it was in the Barents Sea off Russia, in the North Pacific, or in the Atlantic or the Mediterranean. They used very aggressive tactics against one another. It was a form of shadow boxing, in a sense. They were essentially practicing what they might have to do if there were ever a combat incident. And what happened in 1968 was the culmination of more than a decade of increasing tensions between the two forces. The U.S. Navy was technologically superior. Their people were better trained. Their equipment was safer. But the Soviets were pressing hard to catch up, and they were not failing in that in many respects. Now, three things happened that set the stage for the loss of the Scorpion. And I will tell you right now that the evidence I have uncovered led me to conclude that the Scorpion died at the hands of a Soviet submarine in a torpedo attack in the eastern Atlantic 5 days before it was supposed to return to Norfolk. But what set the stage for that were two things, or three things, actually. First, there was a massive Soviet intelligence operation mounted against the Navy. We've known it by two seemingly unrelated incidents that were discovered 17 years apart, but were really two parts of the same operation. The first was the seizure of the USS Pueblo, the spy ship, by North Korea in January of 1968, just several months before the Scorpion went down. The second was the espionage ring led by retired Navy communications officer John Walker. The Walker spy scandal was not publicly known or to the Navy or the public until 1985, 17 years after the Scorpion incident. What happened was very simple. John Walker betrayed the Soviet or the U.S. submarine service by stealing the ability to encode and decode messages and give that information to the KGB. As a result of his espionage, he gave them part of the system used to encrypt and break, open up coded messages. The Pueblo gave the Soviets the second part. It gave them the hard equipment, the transmitters, the receivers, the repair manuals. John Walker gave them what are called coded key lists. When they had the two of those together, they were able to read the U.S. Navy's most top-secret operational messages that it sent out to the submarines deployed around the world. And that gave the Soviets the ability to ambush and sink the Scorpion. Now, the next question is, why in the hell would they want to do that? Well, the answer is, 10 weeks before the Scorpion went down in 1968, in March of that year, the Soviets lost a submarine. And this did not become known to anyone until the mid-70s, when the ambitious and multi-million dollar operation by the CIA to lift the Soviet submarine off the Pacific seabed became known. So all of this was happening in 1968. Walker's espionage, the Pueblo being captured, the Soviets breaking our codes, the Soviets losing one of their submarines, and then the Scorpion vanishing mysteriously in the Atlantic. I was able to reporting and interviewing people who each had, a small piece of the puzzle to put them together and form what I think is a very coherent history of what went down. And what happened was very simple. It remains unknown today whether the U.S. Navy actually had a concrete material role in the destruction of the Soviet submarine in the Pacific. But what I will tell you is, to this day, Soviet veterans of their submarine service believe that we did. In other words, they were firmly of the belief by the spring of 1968 that we had caused the destruction of one of their submarines and the deaths of their crew, which was like 98 or 97 men. And so they had what I called a malicious motive by the spring of 68 to retaliate. And the sequence and what other people have told me who had, as I say, pieces of the puzzle, was that the Scorpion was chosen because it was the first submarine that they could take advantage of and retaliate. And then the thing that happened that defies belief, I mean, we've all seen Hollywood movies, but I've had credible people tell me this, is that once this happened, both sides suddenly realized they had to step back from the brink, or they were going to suddenly find themselves in a shooting war at sea that could quickly escalate into nuclear weapons being used. And so both sides just agreed to suppress and bury the story forever.
Investigative journalist and military reporter Ed Offley is my guest. His new book is Scorpion Down, the true story about the disappearance of the USS Scorpion in 1968. Ed, what is the reaction by the Pentagon to the materials that you've uncovered and the case that you make for the fact that this submarine was brought down by the Russians?
Well, I haven't gotten any official reaction to the book, but I've been doing reports on this for newspapers in Norfolk and Seattle over the years, and the Navy's official reaction is to pull out of a dusty file drawer the official statement that they read whenever someone asks about the Scorpion, which is they have no idea. The certain cause of the loss was never identified. Privately, they will tell you that I'm smoking my socks. But what I found is that there was a concerted effort, and I have ironclad evidence of this, by a very small group in the Navy's leadership in the intelligence branch to suppress evidence, that is, to bury evidence. And the biggest example is 5 days before the Scorpion was supposed to reach port was when it exploded and sank. The one ironclad assertion, statement, whatever, that everyone agreed on in 1968 was that nobody knew the Scorpion was in trouble or had anything happened to it before it failed to reach port. The families were on the pier waving signs and balloons. The Navy people on the submarine tender, the support ship, were sitting there waiting for it to show up so they could tie it up and start servicing it. The Atlantic Submarine Force commander himself said he had no more idea than anyone that anything had gone wrong. Yet 15 years after the event, when I was just writing an innocuous anniversary story, I had no personal idea that there was anything suspicious about the Scorpion. I called this guy up. He was a decorated World War II hero. His name was Arnold Schade, He lived in South Florida. And I just asked him an innocuous series of questions. I was doing a where are they now, what do they remember type article about the incident. And he and I had established a pretty amicable conversation. He didn't sense that I was suspicious or trying to trick him or trap him. And because of that, he disarmed himself. And in the course of that interview, he told me something that he really shouldn't have, because he told me what really happened to the scorpion. And he didn't realize he had. And I have to interrupt myself just to tell you a very quick thing I've learned as a military reporter, is that when you control information, that you classify it secret, confidential, top secret, and there are stamps and there are safes and procedures, but the human memory is like the back of a giant envelope. And when I asked him to tell me what happened, he made the mistake and he told me what really happened. And what really happened was they were looking for that submarine 4 days before they had any reason to know anything had gone wrong with it. And I was able to quickly confirm that with the man who was then the senior topmost admiral in the whole Navy. His name was Tom Moorer. I drove to Washington from Norfolk, had an interview, and I said, this is what Arnold Schade has now said, and he confirmed it, that there was a secret search for the Scorpion. Now, they backpedaled and they tried to say, well, it wasn't that big a deal. We just didn't want to upset the families by letting them know we were searching for it before it came in. And for a while, I sort of thought, well, maybe that's the case. But when I later found out, they had a formal inquest called a court of inquiry. And a court of inquiry is like a grand jury. They have subpoena power, but they also have the ability to close the hearing and receive material classified up to top secret. I was able to track down over the years and interview four of the surviving members of the seven-man panel, and all four of them had the same reaction when I showed them the information about the secret search: shock and disbelief. They were not told about the secret search. It was kept secret even from them. And they were charged to find out what happened to the submarine. So this set the course for really my real research into the Scorpion incident. It took about 3 or 4 years. But in that period of time, I was able to satisfy myself that whatever happened to the Scorpion, it wasn't what the U.S. Navy had told everybody had happened.
My guest is Ed Offley. He's the author of Scorpion Down, the true story of the disappearance of the USS Scorpion in 1968. Ed, what's been the reaction of some of the surviving family members of these soldiers who disappeared?
Well, this has not been sprung on them out of the blue. I have been researching this, as I say, since 1982. I've been in touch. I've done interviews and several times have published articles on it. So most of the family members are aware of my research. And there's a pretty good cross-section of feeling. Some family members don't like me. They would prefer to have this whole thing just, you know, put aside, because it brings up very painful memories of a time that they got totally sandbagged. They're waiting for their loved ones to come home, and their loved ones were already dead. So some people have not been happy with it. Others have encouraged me to find out what happened, because mostly now that so much time has passed, they want to know what happened.
Now, one of the obvious questions, Ed, is has anybody found this submarine, and is there evidence that it indeed was torpedoed?
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I should have told you that earlier. Once the Scorpion failed to reach port, the Navy launched what was the largest operation in the Atlantic Fleet, except for the Cuban Missile Crisis. Almost 60 ships, scores of aircraft went flying out into the Atlantic. They had a general idea of where the submarine should have been. They had a kind of a corridor from where that spot was in the eastern Atlantic back to Norfolk. So it was like a highway about 50 miles wide in a straight line, and they searched up and down for about 10 days. They didn't find a single piece of debris or evidence, and then at a certain point of time, they declared the submarine as presumed lost, because they figured that even if it was just grounded somewhere, they'd run out of air, like what happened to the Kursk in 2000, the Russian sub. So while they had this official investigation going on, the Court of Inquiry, in the summer and fall of 68, there was a very small group of Navy research ships were out in the Atlantic exploring essentially what they called an area of special interest, where they were pretty sure the submarine would be found. And they said it was very, very difficult, very primitive technology, because they had to literally lower a cable 2 miles down and at the end of the cable was a little towed sled with a camera and a strobe light, and they go along at 1 mile an hour, taking a picture every 15 seconds, and they were mapping like a 30-foot wide section of the seafloor. Then they try to turn around and come back, and their navigation was, you know, nothing like GPS gives us today. And I was told it was like looking for a contact lens by peeking through a soda straw on your lawn at midnight in the rain. But they found it. 5 months later, stunning announcement, bulletin from the Pentagon, we found the Scorpion. They took thousands of pictures of the wreckage. They reconvened the court. They reviewed those, and then at the end of that period, they threw up their hands and said, we can't tell what happened to it. Later, the Navy surveyed the wreckage using the deep-diving bathyscaphe Trieste, and also in the 80s, Robert Ballard. When Ballard found the Titanic in 86, that was kind of a non-classified cover story in its own, because his real mission was to find the Scorpion, or to go to the Scorpion and take really detailed pictures of that wreckage. And then once he was done with that, they said, okay, if you want to, you can go find the Titanic. The pictures, there were several studies made in the early 70s that essentially concluded that even if there had been a torpedo, it probably wasn't a torpedo explosion. There's a certain degree of creative ambiguity in those reports. The pictures, what the pictures show is only about half the submarine hull can be seen because the bottom of it's buried in the mud, and there's a huge section missing. I've been told, and there have been one or two other books written that say that the Navy concluded that it was probably a battery explosion or an accidental torpedo explosion, but none of those books had what I was able to find, which were operational accounts of what happened before and after the submarine actually sank.
Ed Offley is the author of the new book, Scorpion Down, an incredibly gripping story, a true story, of what happened to the USS Scorpion when it disappeared in 1968. Ed, it's been an honor to talk to you. It's a beautiful book. It really is.
Thank you. Can I talk my website?
Absolutely. Real quick.
www.scorpiondown.com and go Wahoos.
Scorpiondown.com. UVA graduate Ed Offley, his new book, Scorpion Down. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.